If you will, turn your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, preach the message this morning, what is the will of our Lord in our lives? What is the will of our Lord in our lives? And we took our text verse here from Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Because of these things that have been mentioned earlier, the apostle writes to the saints at Ephesus, these are children of God, saved, and members of one of his churches there, just like you and me. He says, because of these things, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we talk about this morning about the general will of our Lord for mankind and how it is by the word of God that we do know what our Lord has commanded unto mankind. We took a look also at the general will, or universal, or global, however you want to say it, that just applies into all, the general will of our Lord for his children, individually, in our families, and such as that. The Lord makes things very clear in that. Then we talked about the specific will of our Lord for his children. And of course, individually, as a family. And then we also add to that about a church, you know, as his church, we need to know his will for our the life of our church, his house there that he's called us into. And in this of his general will, it's outlined in the scriptures. We took a look at that, his specific will. Well, we need to be talking to him about that, don't we? We need to be asking. We need to be seeking. We need to be knocking. James helps us out, as we saw in James chapter 4, that we don't need to be asking our Lord and fretting about not receiving and striving and warring, as he says, fighting to get those things that would be pleasing to the flesh. But we need to be considering about what our Lord would have for us and not be adulterers and adulteresses toward our Lord and serving ourselves and what is comfortable for us or just filling up the desires of the flesh. But we need to know that we need to know what our Lord has for us. And so how do we find out the specific will of our Lord for us in our lives? We need to be talking to him about it. We need to be praying. We need to be learning. We need, as Brother Peter writes, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord by filling up on his word and understanding of his word and filling up of what his good word tells us, and then praying and asking and seeking and knocking, talking to our Lord about our day-to-day lives, we can know the specific will of our Lord and it not be a mystery unto us. It'll take faith. Does our Lord want us to be understanding or without understanding? We'll have to have faith in our Lord that it will work, because that is the only way that our Lord is pleased. We want to take a look at the context of our text verse here in Ephesians chapter 5. And we think about it, Ephesians chapter 5, a lot of times we jump to the middle and the end of that chapter. But let's take a look here at the front end of this chapter and get the context of our text verse. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That word wherefore means, because of the things said earlier, don't be unwise and be understanding what the will of the Lord is. In chapter 5, verse number 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And of course, we've made that point. We understand that. That's where we're at. We are children of our Lord. We've been adopted by the Lord through Christ and in Christ by what he has done for us. We've been made joint heirs with Christ. We will, as John writes unto us, the Lord has declared and the saints have declared, we are made kings and priests unto our God. We belong. As we read in Hebrews, that we need to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We belong there because of what Christ has done for us. Oh, in and of ourselves, this old man and this old flesh, it is just as wicked as it ever was, but the Spirit of God lives within, and we do have the new man. We do have our Lord living in us, Christ in me, my hope of glory, right? And as the scripture tells us, and we do belong to our Lord, and we do belong to have fellowship with him. And we are not alienated and separated from our Lord anymore, but we belong in the house, if you will. He says by these things in earlier passages, he says, be followers of God as dear children, an obedient child. Follow the Lord. We need to know what he's doing, don't we, to be able to follow him. We need to know the path that he's taking. We need to know what his aim and his desire is. And we saw about the law this morning and how it's fulfilled in those two commandments, loving God and loving neighbor, loving God with all that we have and loving neighbor as self, doing unto others as we want done unto us, which we see when we slow down and think about that. That's what God's been doing all along, hasn't it? He's been doing well towards mankind. He says here, and walk in love, verse 2, as Christ also has loved us. Well, that's a tall order. Walk in the love, walk in that agape love that Christ has exhibited towards us. Not love that just speaks from the lips, but listen, love that shows doing. Love that does. Love with legs on it. That's what our Lord did for us. He loved us by becoming a man for us. He loved us by stepping down from glory. He loved us by being born of his mother, like you and I were born, not with the same father, not with the descendant of Adam, but by our heavenly father. He went through that. He lived for 33 years before his ministry, 3 years in his ministry. He lived on this earth like you and I live. And he was encumbered with the trial and the trial and the testing of this life, this living in this life. Our Lord is indeed impeccable, but I don't think he is sinless. But he didn't separate himself from the effects of this world upon the body and upon life. He did age, did he not? He did age. He knows what it's like to be like us without sin. But he does know what it's like to be like us and be compassed about with infirmity. Right? Speaking in Hebrews, the apostle writes, speaking about how it is a high priest. A high priest is he's compassed about with infirmity and the things and the cares of life. Our Lord truly bore our sorrows and carried our grief. He walk in love as Christ also loved us. He went to the cross because of his love for us. He gave himself fully and completely. He suffered the shame of the cross and the humiliation of the cross so that he might bring and win salvation for us. Oh, what love! No greater love than the love exhibited by our Lord. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ's sacrifice is a sweet-smelling savor unto God. May our sacrifice, Romans 12, right? He beseeches, brethren, by the living God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, right? He said, the apostle writes to the church there at Rome, we need to offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. He did so. We need to follow that example that it might be a sweet smelling savor unto our Lord. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you. We've got some things that we need to obey in. Not the former desires, not the former lusts. We need to put that away. Anything that feeds towards that direction, fornication, illicitness in relationships and intimacy, we need to put that away. What feeds the mind in those things, we need to put that away. Uncleanness, just sinfulness and just the licentiousness of the world and in many different facets. Uncleanness. You know, you got to watch out today how people will scam you. As an example, they're inventing all kinds of different ways to scam people, aren't they? And we don't need to be over there cooking up ways to scam people, do we? As an example. You know, what do we think about? You know, we think about a thing first before you go and do. We don't need to be following after uncleanness and all or covetousness, wanting what is not ours, what is another's, and wanting to take theirs into ourselves. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. The saints, the children of God, we don't need those things. Don't need to be numbered and counted and named amongst us. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, tormenting one another. I think that we can have a good time and tease one another and all that, but you got to be careful about that stuff. We can get carried away with it. We don't need to be fools, the court jester. We don't need to be like that. Filthiness and foolish talking, not sound words that we gain from the Word of God, but the foolishness of the world, the vanity, the emptiness of the world. We don't need to take that conversation of the world and to ourselves. We need to put that away from us, which are not convenient. I've got a reference here relative to this jesting in Proverbs chapter 26. Take a look here, and I think this will help us with this. This is that looking to do harm to folks. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 17, he that passeth by, Proverbs 26, 17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears, as a man who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Yeah, see, he's hurting him. He's doing a bad thing to the face. Oh, I was just kidding around. No, he wasn't. He was looking to do him harm. You're throwing a firebrand because you're looking to catch something on fire. Arrows, you're looking to hit something and trying to do things that would kill someone else. Oh, I didn't mean it. When they didn't fulfill their purpose. I think that's what's being alluded to in here in Ephesians 5:4. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 5, or verse number 4, we should not be involved with filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, they're not appropriate, but rather in giving thanks. Thankfulness for what our Lord has done for us. Always bearing an attitude of thanksgiving unto God. I mean, the Lord's people are thankful people. We've been rescued from the depths of sin. We've been rescued from ourselves, from Satan, from the world. We need to be a thankful people. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, this up here with fornication, or unclean person, those that pursue after the wickedness and sin of the world and of the flesh, or covetous man, those that want other people's stuff and that root of all those sins that are listed there in the commandments, who is an idolater, and covetousness is idolatry. We put what we've been given by the Lord and what we've earned through honest work given to us by the Lord. We want something else. We want something that is another's. The Lord says it's idolatry. We've put something above the principle that God has given us to live by. If I want Brother Nicky's shirt, maybe we've been doing that for years, haven't we? But by hook or crook, I look to get Brother Nicky's shirt, not go buy one of my own where he got his, but I look by hook and crook to get, let me do your laundry, Brother Nicky. Just send those shirts over but then that one doesn't go back. See, look at the breakdown there. I covet his shirt. I want his. I don't want him to have it anymore, but I want to have it. I lie to him about suckering him in to try to do his laundry. I steal it in that I keep it. And then when he challenges me about it, I say the cat ate it. See the breakdown there? My relationship with him is not right. Because now I'm sinning against God, I'm sinning against him, and look at my relationship with the Lord. I've disobeyed everything the Lord's told me and how I should be to my brother. How I should be even just to a person in the world. No unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And you know, the apostle mentions this in several epistles to the churches. This is mentioned in several epistles to the churches. It's mentioned right off the top of my head to the first epistle to the church at Corinth, isn't it? Those that pursue and do sin, they're not saved. Those that willfully pursuing after sin and have a reputation of being in these things, they're not saved. They don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But you know what? The saved have an inheritance. We've got an inheritance. We don't serve and obey for the inheritance. We serve because our Lord and God is worthy to be served and praised and worshiped. But you know what? He does give an inheritance. He does do so. Verse number 6, let no man deceive you with empty words. Don't take the sucker pitch of what somebody says. Listen to the word of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Remember when Paul was accused about being one that because of the grace of God, just go on and sin and do whatever you want? He said, no, God forbid. God forbid. He tells the church at Rome that that's a false report that we give. He said, those that do these things to this church, he says, don't be deceived with empty words that you can just go on and live however you want to live and do however you want to do. What you do out there in the world is one thing. What you do relative to the church is another. We're to be one person. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He will judge, and his wrath will be poured out. Be not ye therefore, verse 7, partakers with them. They will do so, but don't you be found there, child of God. Don't you be found. They'll be a partaker of that. For ye were sometimes darkness, because those things are the works of darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If I'm over here being covetous, is that representative of God? If I'm stealing from someone, is that being representative of our Lord? If I'm lying on somebody, or sinning in the flesh relationship, intimate relationships, fornication, is that being pleasing to God? I'm sinning against the Lord. It's not right. It's not light, is it? It's not the light that we've been called unto. It's the darkness from which we've been called. We were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Light. He is the light. Isn't that what John tells us? That Jesus is the light that lights up the world? And I tell you what, that's who we've been called into. That's who has saved us. We need to walk as children of light. Children of light talk to their Lord. Children of light fellowship and communicate with their Lord. Children of light live their lives, the rest of the life that they have, unto and with their Lord, not separate from Him. Children of light grow in the grace and knowledge of their Lord, as we saw this morning, and Peter admonishes us in the last verse of his second epistle, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Grow. They have fellowship, they have nearness, they have communion with our Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Our brother mentioned some of the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians chapter 5 is notable where the fruit of the Spirit is listed there. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is not uncleanness and fornication and falsehood, but the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and the truth. We've seen more recently. You know, look at it. Look at the things going on in the world. Just as leadership and our nation, the people of our nation, we step up, if you will, in a sense, to a crossroad where truth could be looked to and justice and judgment could be met, and we don't, what happens? The thing unravels even more, doesn't it? I believe those are divine tests of God, where the situation is there, just like we had it a couple weeks ago, is right there before our country and the leaders of our nation to do right. And they say, no, we're not going to follow the truth. We're going to make an exception for the wicked. We're going to make an exception for those that are renowned. And then what happens? We say, why is our country, why are our cities, why are our law enforcement being shot up? Because those that are in position in law enforcement, some won't stand for the truth. And I would be regaled as a nut for saying that. But look, the law enforcement was there and had the truth before them to pursue and did not. And now, well, what happens? It just gets, it's more and more. And brothers and sisters, it'll keep on doing it. Because God will not be mocked. The Lord will not be mocked. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's an interesting verse. Okay, let's back up to verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay, and then there's that interjection of what's said there in verse 9. Let's skip that at this time. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving was it acceptable unto the Lord. Oh, I need to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Yeah, it needs to be proved out in my life. How do I know what's right to the Lord? We'll refer to this morning's message. Word of God, learning the Word of God, filling up with the Word of God, and talking, communing with our Lord. Communing and fellowshipping with our Lord. Talking to our Lord about every aspect of our life and being sensitive to what He wants out of His Word and His directive in that. We are to walk as children of life, as children of light, proving was acceptable unto the Lord. We are His witnesses of the truth. We are a manifestation of what God has said, that and all of that is true. We are an example of that. We are proof of that unto a lost and dying world. We say, Word of God says, I don't need to cheat on my taxes. And we don't cheat on our taxes. We try to do that to the best of our ability. And then those that are near that, they leaned on you to maybe cheat on your taxes. Said, no, I'm not going to cheat on my taxes. You've proved what's acceptable unto God. As an example, you're faithful in marriages, faithful in discipline of children. We're an example to the world. We're faithful to the work of the church and the services and the financial need and all. We prove that's what's acceptable to God. It's not acceptable to God because we've done it. It's acceptable because God's commanded it, and we apply it to our lives. Not just talk about it, but we follow it. Children that walk in the light prove what's acceptable unto the Lord. We're His witnesses. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, verse 11, but rather reprove them. That's wrong. That is wrong. It's wrong for someone to be blatantly guilty and to let justice and judgment pass. That's wrong. It's wrong. And you know what? When I disobey the law, it's wrong. And when you disobey the law, it's wrong. Because we're to abide by it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're children of light, but rather reprove them. You know, our very presence is a reproof. And remember how this works. The Word of God tells us that there's instruction about what's right and wrong. And then there's reproof when we're heading that direction of what's wrong, what's wicked, what's evil. We're looking over there to it. I mean, we haven't got over there and got messed up in it yet, but we're heading that way. Then rebuke comes when you're down there smack dab in the middle of it and said, there you go, you did it, you're wrong. And then after that, there's chastisement. That's what the Word of God bears out. Instruction, reproof, warning, rebuke. You're down there in the middle of it and you've done it. And then the punishment. Those are aspects there of how the Lord deals with us. We are to warn about going that wicked way. Verse number 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In our day, sad to say, it's not secret anymore. It's still a shame. It's still shameful. And there is no shamefacedness about wickedness and this of sodomy and lesbianism and bestiality will be the next thing that'll just follow in right behind it. Those things are shameful and wicked. Shouldn't be. And were ashamed to be talked about, but now they're just bringing it out in the open. We have no fellowship with that. But all things, verse 13, that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So if you and I are not obeying our Lord, then we're not shining too bright, are we? But if we're obeying Him, again, not that it's our opinion that makes it right. Remember that. I think that's key. That's key. I think I wonder if that's not been a point that's been lost. We need to do and obey our Lord because He said so. And we always put it forth that I'm doing this, not because I think it's right. I mean, you and I do believe and are convicted that it's right, but we do so because God has commanded us to do so, to stay away from a thing or to engage in a thing because God has said so. Represent the Lord. Shine bright for the Lord. But all things that are reproved are made manifest. They're shown forth by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. I mean, take a look quickly over here into John chapter 3. I want to remind you of this cross-reference. In John chapter 3, verse number 19, our Lord Jesus here dealing with Nicodemus, and this is the condemnation, John 3:19, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They don't want the light. They want their sin. Their sins. Want to stay over there in the dark. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. You know why? Because his deeds will be reproved. The light shines on it and says, no, 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 that's not the way to go. No, 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 that'll kill you. No, 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 that's wickedness against God. And they don't want that. But he that doeth truth, verse 21, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that he may be bragged upon. It doesn't say that, does it? No, that they are wrought in, that they are wrought in God. God's working in me. I'm looking to follow the Lord. He saved me. He's called me. He's washed me. He's made me a joint heir with Christ. Back in Ephesians 5, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. The light does that reproving work. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The light opens it up, shows it for what it is. Jesus said, if I hadn't come, they'd still have a cloak for their sin. Speaking about the religious leaders of Israel and sin in general, I believe. But you know what the light does? It shows sin. It reveals it. It makes it manifest. It cracks it wide open. verse number 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I think we could spend some time here on this passage. In salvation, is not that what our Lord's done for us? We've been raised from the dead. We've been awakened to a thing that we knew nothing about. Our sin, our need, pending judgment and condemnation, and a Savior who died for sinners like us. The Lord saves us. I think another way that we could take this and apply it is that, you know what? Sometimes the children of God are just asleep. Need to wake up. Need to wake up. Need to wake up and not just know what needs to be changed or what needs to be done, but also need to do it. Need to hearken to our Lord. Hear and obey. Okay, which I think he's gonna get to that. He says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Remember, he's talking to a church here. Children of God saved in one of the Lord's churches. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Are you walking with your Savior? Need to wake up if you're not. If you're not walking with your Lord and learning about your Lord and growing in the grace and knowledge and application of the Word of God to your life, you need to wake up and start talking to your Lord. I didn't say boss your Lord. I said speak to your Lord and listen to our Lord. I need to walk with my Lord day to day to day, in the morning, in the day, and at night. He's here. He's near. He's at hand. Need to wake up. Walk. You know, do you want the light of the Lord in your life? Do you want His light? Do you want to shine for Him? He goes on, see then that ye walk circumspectly. It's an interesting word. It's talking about, you know, we think of circumference or circle. Okay, circumspectly is talking about diligence or perfectly or exactly. You know what? He says, see ye walk. This helps me. You that have shot guns or like rifles with scopes on them, you look to shoot precisely. We need to walk precisely. How can we do that? We got to know what the instructions are. Amen? We got to be in communication. I need to walk precisely in my life, circumspectly in my life before my Lord and what He wants me to do. We've got generally what He wants us to do as His children, but I need to get down to the precision of my life. You know, just don't go through life fat, dumb, and happy, so to speak, right? But listen to what the Lord has to say. Listen and seek the Lord, right? What did the Lord say? Ask, seek, and knock, right? See then, wake up, and see then that you walk precisely, circumspectly, not as a fool that doesn't know whether they're coming or going, but as wise. Wise, wisdom. Wisdom, where does that come from? It comes from the Lord. Redeeming the time, because you only got so much. And the days are evil, and we need to be a good witness in this evil day. Every aspect of life, we need to be shining for our Lord. Wherefore, because of that, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is for you. Not just piddle, fiddle, serve yourself, and that's it. But do what we're doing for the honor and glory of God. And if what we're doing is not for the honor and glory of God, change it. And find out what our Lord wants us to do. The folks in the church at Ephesus, some 2,000 years ago, their situation's no different than mine and your situation today. They had the same temptations. They got the same troubles. They got the same weight of life and earning a living and raising families and all the things, faithfulness to their church where the Lord had saved them and put them in. They have the same things that you and I have. And you know what? The directive from our Lord is the same to them and to us. We need to know what the will of the Lord is for ourselves individually, for our families, and for our church. He goes on to say, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. Brother Jim, I'm filled with the Spirit. Well, not as much as you could be. Right? I mean, and what is this? Do we have like 10% Spirit in us or 30% Spirit in us? No, the Spirit of God is within us, period. But you know what? How about sensitivity? Maybe I'm just 30% sensitive and certainly need to be more. Why would I be less sensitive? Because I'm listening more, 70%, to the old man and to the world. And I need to listen more to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God that lives within. I need to fellowship with my Lord. I need to talk to my Lord about this life that He's given me, that I might live this life for Him. And don't be unwise. Don't be ignorant. Don't be without ability to apply the Word of God in this life that the Lord has given me, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess and a loss of connection and control of this body, but be filled with the Spirit, that this body might be mortified. He gives some helps here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to your Lord. I know it says to the Lord, but to your Lord. You own Him? Does He own you? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. You that are here and saved, I challenge you. Don't say thee, but is He yours? Claim Him. He claims you. Amen. He claims you. He loves you so. And sing to Him. Fellowship with Him. Visit with Him. Learn about Him. Ask Him to help you. And you know what? He will. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for all things. You know, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad we've got a place to meet. I'm thankful to our Lord that He's given us His Word and we have freedom yet. I'm thankful that He's taken care of us this last week. I'm thankful that He's given us conviction and you conviction to come today. And we could just go on and on about the things that we're thankful for. And you know what? As they cross our minds as we look to consider about things, I'm thankful for our Lord's provision for us. We need to thank Him. Just right there in your heart, just simply, Lord, thank you that my socks match. Thank the Lord for socks to wear. Amen. You know, I know that's a little thing. I'm not making light about it, but I'm saying there's some people in the world that don't even have socks. And they'd be glad for a pair of socks that it wouldn't matter if they matched or not. And my match don't have holes in them. I'm thankful for that. We need to be thankful, thankful people. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We need to submit one to another. We're tied up together in this thing. This thing of being in the Lord's church, we are tied up together here. We are bound together. We've been added by our Lord. Amen. And we need to do what He wants us to do. As Brother James says, we don't need to have warrings and fightings amongst ourselves and within ourselves, but we need to be submissive to one another and to our Lord together. And that's what the Lord has given in His church and the operation of His church, the way it's to be. We're to be fitly joined together, not a bunch of individuals, but one body serving our Lord, finding the place that the Lord's made for each and every one of us. Do you pray? Do you pray for our church that the Lord would help us to do what He wants us to do? That's good. Keep on. Do you pray, Lord, help me to do what I should be doing in the church that You've placed me in? Do you pray that too? Need to. Lord, help me to find what You have me to do. Lord, show me and open up to me what I could do more in the church that You've put me in. Well, Brother Jim, I've got this limitation, that limitation. I understand that. That happens. That happens through life. That happens at different times. But the thing is, there's something. There's something that You can do. There's something that You can do. And you know what? We need to talk to our Lord about it. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of our Lord is for you. We must seek our Lord in all we think, say, and do. May He help us in that.